Well, hey, good morning, everyone. Good morning. Where are all of you at 9 o'clock? I just have to ask as your pastor, okay? I step in this room and I have a panic attack every single morning. This is the morning no one shows up for, but here you guys are. Wow. Wow. I knew it was going to be a good morning, though, when I turned around and the answer to what are your favorite Thanksgiving foods, we all had the same answer, which is obviously sweet potatoes. Sweet potatoes, the oft overlooked sweet, and not healthy, right? You know what I mean? Like doused in brown sugar and whatnot. Anyway, hey, good morning. Let's get back on track. So good to see all of you. For those that are new or visiting, my name is Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Arbor. Welcome. We are currently in week 7 of our series going through Proverbs that we are calling Make It Make Sense. And we have been asking this simple question: what kind of people does God's wisdom actually form? Because the wisdom of Proverbs is not about forming people who remember clever sayings from the book of Proverbs. It's not about forming people who know facts about the Bible. The purpose of this wisdom is to form us into people who live and love well in the world around us. That is the aim of the book of Proverbs. And today, we are going to talk about what I think is the main aim. Something that I think oftentimes gets overlooked, unfortunately, something that's left out of the conversation, because when we think about wisdom in the book of Proverbs, we typically think about simply making good decisions, and good decisions in my relationships and in my finances and with my words and with my friends and all of those things, having fewer regrets, having a calmer, more peaceful life. And I think all of that is good, and I do think that Proverbs speaks to all of those things. But it also has something much bigger in mind for us as well. Ultimately, wisdom's primary aim is to show up in the world as love in action. That is the primary aim of wisdom: love for God, love for our neighbor, love that isn't just sentimental and love that isn't just good vibes, but love that takes actual practical shape in this world, in the world we actually live in. And if you had to distill that kind of love born out of godly wisdom just down to one word, the word that Proverbs circles around again and again and again throughout all 31 chapters, is this word: justice. Justice. Now, when I say that word justice, it causes a variety of responses in the room. Some of you tense up and you think, oh my goodness, I hope that this does not get political today. Others get like excited because you're like, I hope this gets political today. And yet there are still some of you in the room that are like, I hope this isn't about money again. To all of you, I would just say, breathe, okay? Take a breath, because Proverbs does not talk about justice the way the news cycle talks about justice, social media and Twitter talk about justice. It does not yell. It does not cancel people. It doesn't demand that you take a particular kind of view and form into a particular kind of activist in order to embody justice. Justice in Proverbs is actually really quite ordinary. It's usually quiet. It's typically local. It's embedded in the actual communities where your habits and routines take place on a day-by-day basis. And so what we're going to see today is justice is not some sort of extracurricular activity for those who are very engaged with this or very online. It's actually how wisdom shows up in the world as love. Justice is not a cause you join. It's how you love the world as someone shaped by God's wisdom. Justice is not this cause that you join. It is how you love the world as someone shaped by God's wisdom. Justice is how wisdom loves. And that's where we're headed today. We're going to let Proverbs define justice for us, not in some sort of abstract, theoretical, activist sort of way, but in a deeply relational, practical, ancient wisdom sort of way. And then we're going to see and zoom in on where does justice actually, where is it actually most relevant on the edges and in the margins, and how can we step into that? Into justice, how we might see and share and speak in ways that reflect God's heart for the vulnerable. And then finally, we're going to see how Jesus embodies this kind of wisdom as justice, and how he calls us to the table, how he offers us mercy at our failed attempts toward justice, but sends us out as agents of justice regardless. And so if justice isn't just this cause we sign up for, but it is the actual way we show up in the world as people shaped by God's wisdom, we should probably ask a pretty basic question. What does Proverbs actually mean by justice? What does Proverbs actually mean by justice? And we get a glimpse into this at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs. We've actually already read this verse once weeks ago when Proverbs shares with us its purpose statement. The purpose of the book is, listen, to learn wisdom and moral instruction and to discern wise counsel. This is what we've been doing for the last 6 weeks, but it doesn't stop there. We receive moral instruction in skillful living, in righteousness, justice, and equity. That's the aim of the book of Proverbs. Not just to learn wisdom, not just to get smarter, not just having fewer regrets, but being formed into people of righteousness, justice, and equity. Those words hang together. In the Hebrew, the word for righteousness is this word tzedakah. And this word is actually all about like right relationships, living in harmony and unity with God, with other people. And justice here is this word mishpat, which is all about making right judgments, right assessments, and then following through with right action. Essentially, it's doing what straightens out what's bent and broken in the world around us. It notices when something's out of shape and it says, I'm going to step in and do what I can, not necessarily to solve the problem, but to help. And so when you put those things together, you get this way of being in the world that doesn't just feel things. We don't just have opinions and hot takes on the matters around us. It actually does things. This is love that shows up in real and practical ways, especially for those who are on the margins, especially for those who are disadvantaged. Proverbs 2 pushes this a bit further. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up effective counsel for the upright and is like a shield for those who live with integrity, to guard the paths of the just and protect the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity every good way. And so here's what the writer of Proverbs is explaining, a sort of process here. God is the source of all wisdom, and the beginning of this understanding of this wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And as we walk with God in this way, he proves to be a light for our path. He proves to be a shield that protects us. And as we walk in wisdom and humility with God, you grow in a deeper understanding of righteousness and justice and equity. As you walk with God and walk more closely with him, you grow in an understanding of those things. And so in this sense, justice is not something we invent. It is not a cause we invent. It is something we grow in greater understanding and awareness of as we walk in wisdom and integrity and humility with God. One more verse here. Proverbs 28 makes this idea even clearer. It says this: evil people do not understand justice, But those who seek the Lord understand it all. Don't you just love how clear Proverbs is sometimes? It does not mince its words. It is not like passive-aggressive Pacific Northwesterner here, right? I'm sorry. It's true. Coming from Chicago, I'm just saying. It says it point blank. Evil people do not understand justice. It is not mincing words. If my life is curved in on itself, and I'm all about my comfort and my image and my success, then justice, what Proverbs is saying here, it's going to be incomprehensible to me. I'm not even going to begin to understand it. It will always feel optional. It will always seem inconvenient. But when I am walking with the Lord, and I'm seeking him, and not just seeking facts about God, but I am actually seeking right relationship with him, righteousness, I begin to see where things are crooked and where something needs to be straightened. And so what does Proverbs mean by justice? Well, in Proverbs, listen, justice is the faithful, God-shaped use of your power, your resources, and your words so that people are treated rightly, especially the vulnerable, in all the ordinary places of life. That is what justice is. And so if this is what justice is, where can we see this justice in action? Where do we see this play out in real life? And I've already kind of alluded to this a number of times so far, but over and over again, the place where Proverbs points us to is at the edges. Justice is at the edges. It's at the margins of life. Justice is most relevant, most needed with the people who are most easy to overlook. Proverbs 29:7. The righteous person cares for the legal rights of the poor. The wicked does not understand such knowledge. The word cares here in Hebrew is literally the word knows. The righteous person is aware of, they know, they understand, they are looking into the legal rights, the causes, the real life situations of those in vulnerable situations. They bring those things into their field of vision, into their prayers. They put them on their calendars. They engage with them in their day-to-day habits and real life. But the wicked, they don't get it. And it's not that they're just mean. What the writer says here is that they simply do not understand such knowledge. They are brought forth with this thing called justice, and they say, why? What's the point? That doesn't make sense to me if we find justice incomprehensible. It says something really dire about the state of our hearts. The wicked don't know about the poor, the vulnerable, the hurting in their communities, mainly because they don't want to. It's easier not to see. It's easier to stay busy. It's easier to stay comfortable. It's easier to stay entertained. And so Proverbs is essentially saying that justice happens on the edges of life. And it starts at this level of attention. As you walk with God, your eyes open up, you begin to see these needs. And this is not just about having a theory or a take on poverty or need. This happens in the real life day to day. It happens in the down the street from me. There is an elderly widow who is clearly struggling right now. I see that. What is God calling me to do to help the marginalized? It happens in the moment where we see a rising need for food in our community, and we see that need, and are we quick to move that direction and help in any way we can, or does it not even register on our radar? Justice in Proverbs isn't primarily about a position on an issue. It is a posture toward a person. Justice in Proverbs isn't primarily about a position on an issue. It is a posture toward a person, our posture toward a people in our community right now. And here's the thing about this particular posture. The posture that we have in these matters, it speaks volumes about our relationship with God. Proverbs 14:31 says, "The one who oppresses the poor insults his creator, but the one who shows favor to the needy honors him." And so essentially, if we see the vulnerable, the poor, the downtrodden, the addicted, the homeless, whoever, if we see them merely as problems to be managed, as things to be ignored, like blights on an otherwise great society, we insult our Creator. And we might come to church and we might sing songs and we might do Bible studies, but how we view and treat the poor around us shows us our true heart. To insult the poor is to insult our Creator, but to show them favor is to honor God. And so again, justice is not some cause I join. It is the way the wise love of God shows up in the world around me, at the edges of society, and at its core, it reveals something about my own soul. How I treat someone with less power than me is in a very real way, the best way to get a view into my own heart. And so with all that being laid out, how can we more actively begin to take steps toward being people of love in God's world well? How can we allow this wisdom to form us and shape us? Well, Proverbs gives us some simple, concrete steps. We can see, we share, and we can speak. We see, we share, we speak. First of all, we can see who's at the edge. Who's at the edge? Again, Proverbs 29, the righteous person cares for the legal rights of the poor. And so it starts with noticing. It starts with seeing who's at the edges, who's at the margins. How do we begin to see these peoples? Well, just a couple practical pieces of advice here. First of all, follow the cost. Follow the cost. When decisions get made in your communities, in your circles, and they have a negative impact on someone else, who ends up paying for that negative impact? In your workplace, who tends to absorb the extra work? In your school, who's losing out the most when a program gets cut or defunded? In your building that you live in, who is getting pushed out when rent goes up again and again and again? One of the most practical ways to see with wisdom is to ask, who's paying for this? Who's shouldering the negative cost of this? And if the same kinds of people keep paying, the poor, the single parent, the person with no options, justice says, look at them and don't look away. See their need. Proverbs is blunt about this. Listen, do not exploit the poor because they are poor, for the Lord will plead their case. If you're going to court, I don't want to ever argue against God, right? The one who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Follow the cost. Here's another thing. Notice the absence. If we want to see who's at the margin, notice the absence. When you're in a room, whether it's a work meeting, a small group, a friend group, a school function, wherever it is, just start asking, who's not in this room right now? Who's not in this room? Or who's in this room but never speaks up? Whose perspective would change this conversation if they were actually included and advocated for? Proverbs keeps reminding us that God notices those people. He sees those people, the people that are missing. The Lord sees and gives justice to the oppressed. This is at the epicenter of the heart of God. And so a wise person who is walking with this God, a just person, starts to notice these very same things, these patterns of absence, the same voices always leading, the same stories always centered, the same people always on the negative end of decisions, but never at the table when those decisions are being made. And so seeing is just the first act of stepping out wisely in a just way. Before we share, before we speak, wisdom teaches us to ask, who's at the edge here? And how might God be inviting me to move toward them? But justice doesn't stop at seeing. It asks, what can I share? What can I share? How do I use what I have? What do I have that I can put on the line for those, for the good of those on the margins? Proverbs 3, again, not splitting any hairs. Listen, do not withhold good from those who need it when you have the ability to help. Do not say to your neighbor, hey, go away, come back later, I will give it to you tomorrow, when you have it with you at the time. That is sharing with respect to justice in one sentence. If you can help, don't delay, don't deflect, just do it. This might be financially. Maybe we have financial margin to help someone in need, some family in crisis, the mothers at Acres of Diamond, the needs we have here at our church. We've got the margin. We've got the ability. Don't deflect. Don't delay. Just do it. Maybe you are rich with time right now, and you have the opportunity to use that time to walk alongside someone else, to tutor them, to provide childcare, to be a listening ear. If that is you, don't delay, don't deflect, just do it. Maybe it's even getting a little bit more creative. Maybe you have more relational capital and connections, and you can open the door for someone who wouldn't be able to open the door for themselves to get in a room they otherwise wouldn't be in. If you can do it, don't deflect, don't delay, just do it. Share. Justice doesn't say, this is mine, I earned it. Justice says, how can what I have be shared and become good news with someone who doesn't have it? Justice sees, justice shares. And then finally, justice means that sometimes we must speak. We must speak. When do I use my voice? Justice sees and justice shares, but justice also asks, when do I need to actually open my mouth? Again, Proverbs 31. This is the Bible, all right? It says, open your mouth on behalf of those unable to speak for the legal rights of the dying. Open your mouth, judge in righteousness, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. We talked about our words a few weeks ago. Using our words well is more than just about not using them in hurtful and harmful ways. It's about positively and proactively using your voice for someone that doesn't have a voice. In a meeting at work, when someone gets cut off, something simple as saying, hey, I think we cut her off earlier. Can we please hear what she has to say? In a friend group, it's as simple as something like, hey, I don't think it's fair that we talk about that person, especially while they're not here. Perhaps it's something in your own city, a decision that was made regarding homeless individuals, and you want to speak up, sending an email, figuring out ways in which you can work against that problem. Maybe it's in your school district, on the school board, a decision that is affecting lower income students in your schools. How can I help? We're called to speak up, use our voice for the marginalized, for those at the edges. Now listen, this does not mean that silence is always bad. We don't subscribe to this idea that silence is violence, right? But listen. Understand that when my silence protects my comfort at someone else's expense, that's not wisdom anymore, that's avoidance. And justice with our words, it's not about being the loudest in the room. It's not about stirring up the most noise. It's about learning to use our words in a loving but truthful way that lets God turn our speech into a tool for healing and advocacy. Justice sees, justice shares, justice speaks. Now that's a lot. Justice is a big topic. And if you're anything like me, there have certainly been times where you saw a need and you should have stepped up, you should have shared something, you should have used your voice and spoken up. But instead, that moment just became a moment where you looked away. You held back, you stayed quiet, because in that moment it was just easier. And this is where we have to remember that Proverbs is giving us a vision of wisdom and justice in our lives. And we won't get there by sheer willpower or sheer effort. Ultimately, we need someone who embodies this and someone who can empower this in our lives and in our community. And for this, we look to none other than Jesus himself. Jesus who shows up in the Gospels, and it should come to no one's surprise that he uses practically the exact same language that we see throughout the book of Proverbs with respect to the needy, with respect to the poor. In Matthew 23, speaking against some religious leaders, he says this: "You give a tenth of everything you have, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness." And then he says, "You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Justice was a serious matter for the heart of Jesus, and it wasn't just something he spoke up and out about. It was something he embodied perfectly in his life and in his ministry. Throughout the life and ministry of Christ, he sees people at the edges. He sees the sick. He sees the poor. He sees the sinners. He sees the women who are pushed to the margins. He shares what he has: his time, his attention, his power, his very life. He speaks up and speaks out against these issues. He is constantly calling out hypocrisy. He defends the shame. He declares the good news to those who are poor and needy. And then on the cross, Jesus, the only truly righteous and just one, he stands in the place of the unjust, you and me. All the things we've ignored, all the ways we've avoided justice, exploited others, stayed silent, stayed comfortable, they were laid upon him. He took upon himself the weight of injustice. And in return, he gave us righteousness. He gave us right standing with God. He gave us the ability to have right relationship with one another. He makes us new. And this is what we remember when we approach the table. At each of your chairs, you got these little cups. Communion is where we remember that we are not people who come to God as those who perfectly see and share and speak out against every matter that God would call us to remedy. We come as people who have often failed to see, refused to share, and chosen silence. And yet, even still, each and every one of us, we are welcomed at the table and we are forgiven by the blood of Christ. And so today, as we take this bread, as we take this cup, in light of our conversation around justice, I want to invite us to hold two things simultaneously as we spend a moment reflecting. First of all, I want us to hold honesty in one hand. Would we ask ourselves honestly in these next couple of moments, Where have I been blind? Where have I held back where I could have shared something? Where have I stayed quiet when love would have spoken out? Would we bring that to Jesus and would we name that? Would just be a moment of real confession Because Jesus can receive those things. He sees those things already. He knows where we fall short. But he also holds out hope for us. Would we ask Jesus right now to begin to form his wisdom and justice within us? And maybe that's just one small step today. Maybe there's just one person on the edge in our lives that he's inviting us to see. Maybe there's one concrete way where he's inviting us to share something we have. One situation where we need courage to speak up about something. These are visible reminders of how God has come near to all of us. And he has seen you. He has shared his love and grace and mercy with you. And he speaks a better word over you. In just a few moments here, we're going to stand and take these together. For the next minute or two, would we just spend a moment reflecting? Honesty and with hope.